When blessings are going around, Our Lady gets them all, and through her we are also blessed. In today's gospel, the woman in the crowd where Jesus was speaking calls out, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts at which you nursed." And our Lord's response is to say, "Rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Some of our Protestant brethren will say our Lord is downplaying the Blessed Virgin, when in fact our Lord is ordering the blessings that are bestowed upon the Blessed Virgin, who receives all God's blessings. It is true that Our Lady's greatest prerogative is to be the mother of Jesus, and for that there is a unique blessing bestowed upon her. Both St. Thomas and St. Bonaventure say Our Lady is taken up into the mystery of the hypostatic union, which makes her absolutely unique. It's a mystery which touches her not only in the order of grace, but also even in the order of nature. Our Lady is truly the mother of Jesus, and because she is the mother of Jesus, she is the mother of God. And that's not only a reality of nature, of grace, it's also one of nature, and that makes her in a class all by herself. She's still human, not divine, but she is absolutely unique. And this is her greatest blessing in the order of both, in the order of nature. Her greatest blessing in the order of grace really is the fact that she does, the reason why she becomes the mother of God is that she does the will of God and puts it into practice. She hears the word of God and puts it into practice. Above all, those who are blessed for doing the will of God, in the first place, that blessing belongs to her. Our Lady is so full of grace, so prepared to do God's will, so disposed to be the vessel of the divine will, that God chooses to make her his physical tabernacle. Today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Snows, or the Feast of the Dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. And it was built and dedicated in honor of the Mother of God shortly after the Council of Ephesus in 431, when the Nestorian heresy was condemned and Our Lady was proclaimed Mother of God. Nestorius denied that Jesus was a divine person. He had two natures and basically two persons, like the indwelling of the Word in a human person. And therefore, Our Lady could only be called Mother of Christ and not Mother of Christ and not Mother of God. Well, that heresy was condemned, and through the preaching of the Church, in particular Cyril of Alexandria, Our Lady's prerogative was defended, and Our Lady's title, her person and her title, was a way of affirming our faith in the truth about Jesus Christ, about his true identity, that he is the Son of God. He is true God, true man, but he is a divine person, and through him we are saved. Around the same time, as tradition tells us, there was a miracle in Rome on the Aquiline Hill before this basilica was built. A Roman family had been praying for a way to dispose of some of their wealth in the interests of the Catholic faith. And nearby on this hill, on August 5th, and if you've ever been in Rome in August, you know how hot it is. It's really hotter than it is here in Connecticut most days. Today's not really very hot, but it's terribly hot and humid in Rome, and it snowed on August 5th on the Aquiline Hill, just on the hill. And so they built this basilica in honor of Our Lady. If you go there today to the basilica, there will be a solemn mass, and during the Gloria, they'll open up the ceiling and they shower down white rose petals in simulation of the miracle, all during the Gloria. And it is quite odd because it's just blistering hot and everyone is sweating. At the same time, it's snowing in the basilica. So this was the miracle which led, along with the dogma of Our Lady's divine maternity, at the Council of Ephesus that led to the building of this church, and it remains, you know, one of the principal basilicas of the Roman Church and a great place of pilgrimage, and it has been for centuries. John Paul II, in his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, talks about something which Father Peter has pointed out many times in his conferences. He talks about the Marian geography of faith. The point is that God has chosen to enter our history in space and time through Our Lady, you know, and certain places become monuments of our faith in the incarnation and redemption wrought for us through our Lord, like Nazareth, where he was became incarnate, Bethlehem, where he was born, Jerusalem, where he suffered, died, and rose from the dead. And then throughout the Christian history, certain places become locuses of our faith, like Rome, where the Pope resides, and even, you know, places of pilgrimage which have come about because of these historical interventions on the part of God and Our Lady through providence. Certain places have become holy, like the Basilica of Our Lady of the Snows in Rome, like this place here. It may not be a major church of any sorts, but people come here because they realize divine providence has touched this place. It reminds us that we are all on pilgrimage, and throughout our lives, God intervenes in very concrete ways through his divine providence to guide us to our heavenly homeland. Pope Francis, every time he leaves on an apostolic journey, makes it his habit to visit the Basilica of Our Lady there in Rome, both before he leaves and when he comes back. He just comes in a small car with a few priests and unannounced, and he does this. He goes to the altar of Our Lady, Salus Romani Populi Romani, Salvation of the Roman People. Not only is the Basilica of St. Mary Major's in Rome a place of international pilgrimage where people come from all over the world to visit the principal Marian Basilica of the whole church, but there is an icon in the church that's been preserved since the 12th century. The icon itself dates back much earlier. The tradition is it was painted by Saint Jerome. It's a Byzantine icon. People come there from, the Roman people go there. It's a local pilgrimage place as well. Mostly those who are kneeling before the icon of Our Lady are the local people who come there to lay all of their concerns before her and find in her their salvation through her Son, who in the icon is holding the gospel. So we turn to Our Lady then on this feast here in this little church of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Griswold, Connecticut, our own little site of pilgrimage, and we recognize how God intervenes directly in our lives and brings us into his presence, especially through Our Lady, who is the one through whom we always find Christ Jesus, the one who is our salvation, because he has entered time and space and he remains in this state, but particularly in the Eucharist. He continues to intervene on our behalf each and every day, coming to us concretely, physically, sacramentally, in the Holy Eucharist. May Our Lady of the Snows intercede on our behalf and bring us always to the feet of her Son, Christ Jesus. Praise be Jesus and Mary.